I have certainly enjoyed the last couple of weeks. The presence of God has been wonderful. I've enjoyed ministering the Word of God with what God is giving. And I think it is a now word that we have got to understand the premise of spiritual warfare in the last days. And I'm trying, when I want to start with this making you think each time that we have a session. You know, the modern Christian says, in Christ, I can do anything I want as long as I walk in love. This is the new law. That's basically what you hear on every single TV station. I can do what I want because I'm under grace. Everything's love. But there's another one who wrote these words, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Love is the law. Law under will. And did you know I have been speaking in places where I've read that, and I've actually had men amen it? That's right. Well, that was written by this guy, Aleister Crowley. He is deemed as the most evil man that ever lived. In fact, he changed his name to Aleister Crowley, number one, so it would rhyme as holy to mock God. But in English and in Hebrew, that changed his name to have the numeric value of 666, and he is the father of all of modern Satanists. So when we buy that and don't stick with the word, it shows how that progressivism and that poison has worked its way through the church. You're agreeing with this guy. Every Satanist on the planet believes I can do whatever I will because as long as I'm doing it with love, love under will, I can do what I want. That is the premise of Satanism. Now, do you think Almighty God would have established something that was the very premise of modern-day Satanism? Now, let's compare that with Jesus in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Or how about John 15:10? I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures. I'm just laying this out. We'll get to some I want you to look up here in a minute. In John 15:10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus says, if I really love God, I'll keep his commandments. How about Father God? Deuteronomy 6:4-9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. They shall be as a sign before thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the doorposts of thy house and on thy gates." That's what God says. God says, you show your love for me by loving me with all your mind, your strength, and heart by what? Keeping my commandments. Then we have an inconvenient truth with the Apostle John. And we're going to get into here in the next couple weeks. I think there's a reason why John wrote 1 John and then wrote the book of Revelation. We need to understand you got to walk in 1 John to make it through the book of Revelation. We're going to get into that here just in a week or two. But he said in 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That is a New Testament definition of sin, is violating a command of God, is sin. That's plain as day, isn't it? Okay. Now let's look at Romans 6:12-16, because people try to say, yeah, but the Apostle Paul. But yeah, I want to see what the Apostle Paul said. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Most Christians never dig deep enough to find out that under the law was a perversion the Pharisees did. They begin to tell the Gentiles that you must first become physically Jewish and obey the law before you could get to Jesus. That is salvation by works. No Jew ever did that. It was the grace of God that brought them in, and then they began keeping the law. But he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law? Shall we disobey the commandments of God and violate the commandments of God because we're not under law but under grace? What was the Apostle Paul's answer? God forbid. God forbid. "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience, or obedience, or obedience, or obedience unto righteousness. So, believer, you have two choices. If I disobey God's commandments, I have made myself a slave to sin, even though I was saved, according to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says, now can we do what we want and violate the commandments of God because we have grace? God forbid. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. So, why am I bringing this up? I am amazed at how many people. The other day I was just flipping through in some things, and Christian TV was on, and there was this guy, young guy, and he was preaching to probably 10, 15, 20,000 people. And he was preaching grace was an excuse to do away with the law. We don't need to do the law because we got grace. And he almost edged on universalism. He says, now, I'm not quite a universalist. You know, not everybody's going to get saved, but he said, you know what, God's grace is so big, if one gets saved in the whole house is saved. That's collective salvation in a sense, isn't it? Because the Bible says, you know, the believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole house will be saved. He doesn't even take into consideration that the culture back then, if the man embraced something, the whole house went with him. Let it be so in our day. But I want to understand, so we need to set this silliness aside. You know, there's several, I got a lot I want to get into this morning. But when you live by the ways of God, it creates several things. One of them is a place of safety. It's supposed to be a place of safety. Yet, how many ministers and how many Christians have we ministered to over the decades that the place they were hurt the greatest was in church? It wasn't a place of safety. You know why? You're not living by the commandments. The commandments cause us to do something. Now grab up your Bibles. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, verses 17 through 19. This is part of the Shema. We need to understand that your first tier, this is boot camp, guys. Your first tier to spiritual warfare is keeping the commandments. If you don't keep the commandments, spiritual warfare will not work. And we're getting into a day that it will not work. There's going to be more ministers end up like the sons of Sceva, because when they try to cast out a demon, they're doing more things in line with what that demon does than they are with what Jesus does. Part of the Shema, let's pick up verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. There's a clue right there. How many want it to be well with you? When the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, you want it to be well with you. This is a way of it being well with you. They were going into a land that had been paganized, and God says, as you go there, if you keep my commandments, it's going to be well with you. That thou mayest go in and possess the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. When I begin obeying the commandments, it casts the enemy out of my promised land. And where is your promised land? Have you been trying to look for it, you know? Where's your promised land? It first starts in here. That we have spiritual territory inside of us that has been filled with garbage of the devil. And as I begin keeping the commandments, it begins driving out the ites. In fact, I have found with Christians that begin keeping the commandments and making sure they're quick to repent, deliverance takes about 3 minutes. When it goes on and on and on and on, there's a sin they're holding on to that anchors that demon in their life. When you begin getting rid of the sin, you begin getting rid of their legal right to be there. So it's the first tier of spiritual warfare. The reason we can't get the ites driven out of our lives is that we're not keeping the commandments. The name of Jesus is meant to be blended in with and mixed with someone who is keeping the commandments. Because when I use his name, I'm supposed to represent him. And was Jesus a commandment keeper? We just read it. As I have abided in my Father's love because I kept his commandments. If I'm going to be like him and use his name, I got to represent who he is. And Jesus is not a Torah violator. He is a Torah keeper. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Not only is it the first tier of spiritual warfare. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them in the land whitherto thou go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, that the commandments are our wisdom. I mean, guys, there's a whole lot of difference between wisdom and knowledge. I used to be a guy that was educated beyond my intellect because I knew all kinds of things. I just didn't have the wisdom to implement them correctly. Wisdom is the ability to implement it. And so it's our wisdom. Pastor Rodhouse did a wonderful job of exegeting this scripture in the article he did on the foundation of wisdom. It's our wisdom. So if you do away with the commandments, what don't you have? Don't have wisdom. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We're going to hit a lot of scriptures this morning because I'm wanting to build a foundation for you to understand some things. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, turn not from it, turn not from it. To the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, that thou mayest prosper, that thou mayest prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt make thy way. You don't have to beg God, oh, please, God, make my way prosperous. Oh, God, I just want a blessing. He says, when you do this, you make your way prosperous. That when we begin keeping the commandments, it creates the very atmosphere in which allows you to prosper. If you don't, then you're always begging for a blessing. And how many Christians are always begging for a blessing? We're like Jacob before he wrestled with God. Oh, just bless me. Oh, just bless me. I got more cows and critters and kids to do with, but just bless me. But, you know, after God touched the hollow of his thigh when he wrestled with God all night, he never did ask for a blessing again. Why? He knew walking in the ways of God created the blessing. He said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not just success, but good success. We got a lot of people that might have success, but every other area of their life is falling apart. Good success, the Bible says, God addeth wealth, and he addeth no sorrow to it, because it's done his way. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now let's connect that with 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And everybody says, that's right. No, that's not all of it. Even as thy soul prospers, what your soul's supposed to prosper in, the things you're supposed to be meditating in day and night. Right. Yeah. We have songs how the paralyzed, Satan has been paralyzed, he goes about his roaring lion, but Jesus pulled his teeth out. The ones who got their teeth pulled out was not the devil, it's been the church, because we have disconnected ourselves from the commandments of God. We have no teeth, we're all bark and no bite, because we don't have the very things that begin to speak light into the darkness and separate light from darkness. How about health? Proverbs 3, 1 through 8, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they shall add to thee. They shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Well, how do we acknowledge God in all our ways? Hey, God, I'm getting ready to do this. No. I know. I'll just put the name of Jesus on it. No, you acknowledge him by what you do. You do in line with his commandments and statutes. That's acknowledging God. If you don't, you're denying God. Let's just put it where the rubber meets the road. You're either acknowledging God or you're acknowledging the devil. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be what to you? It shall be health to thy navel. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Then in Proverbs 4, 20 through 23, my son, attend to my words, let thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to their big toe. No. To their hand. No. To the sinus problems. No. To all their flesh. How many know every sickness and disease we have is a flesh problem? It's a flesh problem. In fact, even really most mental diseases that we have can be caused by chemical imbalances and problems in the brain, which are still a problem with the flesh. The brain is made up of what? Flesh. But yet, when I keep God's ways, it is health to all of our flesh. Why are many Christians so sick? They're not walking in the thing that activates the power of God to bring healing to them. And so you run from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, hoping that the gift of healing is in operation. The gift of healing is not for believers. It's for sinners. It's an evangelistic sign to get their attention. You're not supposed to run from meeting to meeting hoping that you can get somebody with the gift of healing in operation. As I walk in him and as I begin doing his word, it begins removing sickness from me.
That's right.
If we get stronger in the word, we get stronger in body and mind.
That's right.
He goes on to say, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh. That's just word. Well, we got grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Israel, when they were in Egypt in bondage, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's why he sent a redeemer to go get them. Adam found grace in the eyes of God, because otherwise the book would have ended in Genesis chapter 3. God showed up grease spot. We need to, you see, the word says there is exponential blessing if we do this right. And where we're headed at, those that preach against keeping God's commandments are going to begin to have exponential curses land on them.
Right.
And they're not going to know why.
Right.
Because one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Exponential annotation. It just keeps on growing and going and going. That's why the Apostle Paul said that if one in the body is blessed, we're all blessed. If one hurts, we feel that we can rally around it and to support it, because as community, now the smallest community is the family, then our church home should be a community of believers, but we've got to live by the same code.
That's right.
Yeah. We've got to live by the same code. And I'm getting ready to show you why. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. And I want to say, before Jesus gave this, it was only the rabbis who had the authority to walk in this. Now, I want you to see there's going to be a connection to several things here. Matthew 16, starting with verse 15. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Was Peter the rock? Or was he where to play? That Peter went from small stones to a rock because he understood who Jesus was. Okay. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, all that darkness, you see, the gates of a place is where all the council was. Back in this day and age, the elders met at the gates. The judges were at the gates. In fact, you can go to some of these cities that were walled, and the judges actually had booths in the gates, in the walls, as you came through the gate, so that if you needed justice, it would be metered at the gate. And the war councils, when they would see an enemy coming, the elders met at the gate and looked out and say, here's our plan of what to do. War strategies were done there. So Jesus is saying, listen, hell is going to have war strategies against you, but if you have the knowledge of who I am first, it will not prevail against you. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there are several ways of interpreting this. I have bound up demons before, and it works. Simply by saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. But you need to realize that when you obey the commandments, you're binding the devil. Hebraically, he was talking about what you permit in your life and what you permit in your community. Prior to this, Jesus gave it to his apostles. Prior to this, it was the local ordained rabbis. That they would come and they would say, these are the things that we are going to permit in our community. These are the things that we're going to bind up that we will not allow in our community. Oh, wouldn't it be so powerful if pastors would get up and start saying, these are the things that we will no longer tolerate in this community. Those that commit adultery, there's the altar. If you don't repent, there's the door. Instead of trying to lather some type of pseudo-grace over it. We need to understand that everything that we do, we are closing and opening doors. You know, we have very, very powerful computers today. And, I mean, you get into Windows 7 the operating systems are gigabytes big. And they can razzle-dazzle us with all kinds of visual displays and ease of use and all that. Did anybody remember the old days of DOS where all you had was a cursor blinking at you and a blank screen? And if you didn't know how to type things in, you just didn't get nothing done. All you got was a blinking cursor, and it made you curse, okay? And then all the fancy computers, we can go and the Cray supercomputers, the Big Blue from IBM, which is one of the best, the Watson is one of the best supercomputers. But you know, if you take it all down to its most rudimentary level in any computer programming, did you know it's nothing but ones and zeros? Well, what does that have to do with anything, Mike? It's telling resistors in the processor to either open or close. When you get the right things open, magic happens. When you get the wrong things open, you start getting hair wanting to be pulled out of your head because you can't get the stupid thing to do anything. I think God gave us that example that at the very core of everything, here's the key of the kingdom. As a community of believers, we have got to go back to the Word and keep God's commandments and say, when we keep these, we open the door to God and we close the door to the devil. And if you come in our midst and you start opening the door to the devil, we will call you out and call you to repent. And if you don't repent, you're out of here for the safety of everybody else. How could you do that? Apostle Paul did it. A man was sleeping with his stepmother, and they tried to get him to repent, and they tried to get him to repent, and they tried to get him to repent, and they wouldn't. Paul said, cast him out. I turn him over for the destruction of his body unto Satan. I can't believe Brother Grace did that. The Apostle Paul, it must have been before he had his revelation in the book of Romans or something, you know. No, he understood the danger of what it could be in the community. Here's a picture from Take Hold by Ariel Berkowitz, and it's a Hebraic understanding of the commandments. They used the shape of the nation Israel. That when I keep the commandments, it's like a force field. It's the shield of faith. It's the shield of faith around me. Because the just shall live by his faithfulness. His faithfulness to what? The commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And it creates a shield round about me. And then on the inside, it has hamakam, which means the place. What? The place of blessing. The place of prosperity. The place of health. It's inside the commandments. And Jesus grafted me into there when I got saved. There was a brother up at Passion of Truth. What's his name, Steffi? Uh-huh. Mike, no, Passion of Truth up in St. Charles. Jim Staley. He was preaching a recent message, and I was watching him. And one thing that really stood out to me, Steffi told us about it, so I had to go look it up for myself, you know. I like doing that. And he says, when people come to the altar and they get saved, and they're washed in the blood of Jesus, the word says that the law of God is written on their hearts. They're open to the kingdom of God. They're open to the rule of God. But the moment they get up, we start teaching them not to do what God just wrote on their hearts. We position them for defeat. Now that you're washed, now that you're clean, and it's been by grace, lend your members unto righteousness. I want to read a section. This is a section from a book by Errol Berkowitz called Take Hold, Embracing Our Divine Inheritance with Israel. This one's out of print. It's a shame. It's that good. He has another one called Torah Rediscovered. That's at his website. And Need to Get It has some of the same things in here. But I want to read you from a Hebraic point of view why I'm talking the way I'm talking. Can I do that just for a minute? It's called a safe place. The Torah describes certain boundaries, both the geopolitical and spiritual, which God fixed for the ancient Israelites. These boundaries are an important physical reality for the nation of Israel. By God's deliberate design, they also serve as the Torah picture of the actual spiritual reality of God's kingdom. Inside the boundaries is the kingdom of God. Outside the boundaries is another kingdom. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God. The Torah is that instruction which identifies exactly where those spiritual boundaries lie, identifying that which is holy and that which is not holy, that which is clean, that which is not, that which is life and that which is death. The body of Christ does not know the difference today between life and death. They don't know the stupidity of the things they're doing today brings death tomorrow. And then they're constantly trying to beg God to get them out of the jam. Their disobedience found them in. Those that have crossed over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light have been given everything they need to know in order to remain within the boundaries of their new reality. In other words, a line is crossed when a member of the holy community ceases to dwell with those from the community. We are not referring to losing one's salvation or becoming legally kicked out of one's spiritual position as a child of God. We believe this to be an impossibility as we understand the nature of grace and the full accomplishment of Messiah's atonement. However, in defining the limits of the holy community, the Torah speaks of itself as a guardian or protector of the redeemed. When followed, it provides spiritual, emotional, and even physical protection for the children of God. The realities of this truth are woven throughout the whole of the Tanakh and are further delineated in the Brit Hadashah. Figure 4, which is this one right here that I've already shown you, on the following page illustrates how the Torah works as a protector of the holy community. Shown in the picture is the kingdom of light in the shape of Israel. It is bordered by the actual words of the Torah. Outside those borders is the kingdom of darkness. This diagram is not to imply that nations outside of Israel constitute the kingdom of darkness, except when you're living in the Middle East. Okay, I want to throw that one in there. Because as we see Islam rise, I believe it is the kingdom of darkness rising. This diagram is not meant to imply that the nations outside of Israel constitute the kingdom of darkness. It is simply an illustration of the Torah's intended function as a protector. If we remain within the established borders by the teachings of the Torah, we can enjoy our God-given inheritance, safe from the influences of the idolatrous people around us. We will also serve as a light to those nations. This is also the reason for the commandments of the Torah regarding those living in Israel who violate the Torah and must be put out of the community. One of the purposes of Israel was to provide a place of safety. So one of the reasons for the church community is to provide a place of safety, because we have been grafted into Israel. A place of safety, blessing, and teaching. When a person violated this sacred place, he must be removed from it for the sake of the rest of the holy community until he either repents or is judged by God. Furthermore, this is also the reason that the alien, the non-Jew person living among the inhabitants of the Holy Land, must live according to the Torah. For the sake of all those called to live in the land, no act of rebellion can be allowed to compromise its holiness. Guys, we're headed back there. Keeping the commandments provides a safe place. It fills your home full of the shalom of God, the peace of God. It begins to position you where you begin to get stronger physically. Now, Mary and I can both tell you that we never missed a winter. We used to get in the flu. I used to have to go to the doctor two or three times a year with sinus infections and earaches and all these different things. Now, when we get something like that, it's years apart. Years apart. I tell you what, years apart is a whole lot better than two or three times a year. God has helped us and strengthened us. And I mean, it has to be something pretty strong that our body has never been presented with before for us to catch anything. And it's because we have been doing what God says, and as we do, you begin to strengthen. You quit eating pork and shellfish and these different things, your body begins to detoxify.
That's right.
You start meditating on the commandments, your brain starts detoxifying. Because the matrix of God's commandments includes what God had in mind. His wisdom, his knowledge is embedded in those commandments. And as I begin meditating on them, they begin seeding within my mind. They start transforming the way that I think. That's why James said that I need to receive with meekness the engrafted word for the salvation of my soul. He was writing to believers. And when he wrote it, the New Testament didn't even exist. We could meditate in the Tanakh, but receive with meekness. Quit arguing with the Word, and quit telling God that Jesus is the reason why you don't have to keep His Word, when Jesus was the one who gave you the grace to keep it. Guys, if I see what's on the horizon in this nation, and we have some very, very powerful people that are positioning for it, they want to loose chaos in this nation. We know that the elite have to bring America down to get what they want done. Russia, back in 1950-something, bragged that they would never have to fire one shot to take over America. They said one morning you would wake up and you would be us. How do you do that? Take over education. And what gets me is all these people that are, they're supposed to be like little flower children that, this love is, everything's cool. Jack, they turn into Nazis with the jack boots and everything else if you don't agree with them, though, don't they? Especially if you stand on this. They turn into Nazis quick. Why? They're bringing a darkness. And this is the, now they don't mind churches that dispreach grace. Because then, you know, well, then by God's grace, then we need to disseminate this over here, and then they can preach social justice, they can preach everything with some type of pseudo-grace that does not line up with the Word of God. Anything goes grace. Aleister Crowley would have fit into those churches. That's why we have witches go into a lot of churches and can be a part of it, because they're preaching their doctrine in the name of Jesus. The Word says, let him who sins sin no more. Let those who call upon the name of the Lord depart from lawlessness, iniquity, lawlessness, anomia. Why? For our sakes. For our sakes. I believe in the days ahead, as guys, I see absolute darkness coming on both coasts. Absolutely. From the intelligence that I have been trying to gather, places like New York and places in California are radically changing. I've been to New York City many, many times. But beginning to radically change the darkness, the hatred, the anti-Semitism. That anti-Semitism will be first to the Jew, and then it will be, and there's a lot of anti-Christian. You can't get up and say, this is what I believe. And if you say anything about sexual sin, then you're a hate monger. You gotta press that down. Can't go back to the Word. And they're going to get vocal. Let me tell you something. If they came into John Hagee's church and tried to shout him down to stop a service, they're going to do it in any church. Because that's part of their rhetoric. I don't want logic. I'm just going to shout you down. I watched a video this week from a union guy, and they were kind of doing an interview, so you had a cameraman and you had the guy giving the interview. And so here you have a union worker. How many know union workers aren't necessarily known for having degrees? Really, they're blue-collar workers. Let's just be honest. And so you have this union guy that's a blue-collar worker, and this guy's trying to interview him. He says, I'm not even going to discuss these things with you because you're uneducated, you're illiterate, you're stupid. And the guy doing the interview says, well, I have two master's degrees. What do you have? And so the union guy's response was, he knocked out the camera guy to turn off the video. Punched him right in the face. Now, who's the one acting stupid? You see the rhetoric, it doesn't have, well, you're uneducated. I've got two master's degrees. I'm highly educated. I'm also educated in the Constitution, what righteousness is. It didn't matter. They just shout because what they're trying to do, their darkness is trying to press everything down. Let me tell you something. If the righteous don't do the right thing, this world has no hope. If we don't run to Jesus, if we don't run back to the Word of God, if we don't start repenting, I don't care if you have 100,000 people in your church service and they're not living by the Word of God, they're not saved, and all you have done is built a club that one day you're going to get up and say, because of grace, let's follow the Antichrist. Because that's about all it is anymore anyway with all the ones that I see. You can just do what you want. It's okay. No, that's what you were supposed to have gotten redeemed from. But they're getting a rude awakening, because what's going to happen, either they're going to slide completely over into darkness, or all hell's going to break loose in their lives if they do love Jesus, but they've bought the lies that have been preached from their pulpits, because they have no protection. You can't use the name of Jesus when everything in your life doesn't represent him. You can't. Your name can't be crying out Lucifer, or your life cannot be crying out Lucifer and sin and iniquity and try to use the name of Jesus on something. It doesn't work. That's why I think we're going to start seeing the building of communities of believers that are going to be Torah-based. Now look, no communes. That's actually anti-Torah. That's communist. The Torah says each man owns his own land, but how about having a community to where one grows food, one grows cows, raises cows, grows cows, whatever you do with them. One knows how to do all that stuff. One might be into carpentry. And we begin, and the community begins taking care by using their talents with each other. Yeah. I mean, we're already starting to see areas where bartering is taking place. Well, you know, if you can't really have proper bartering if there's no set of ethics, if there's no values, if there's no standards. Guys, God has put us into a place that we're going to have to rely on each other more than we ever have. But at the same time, there's going to have to be demands that if you don't live by this standard, you can't be a part of this co-op. You can't go out and play in the other kingdom and come and try to get the protection in this kingdom. If Jesus is your king, his law is your law. His ways are your ways. Not some pseudo-Jesus, not some liberation theology, communistic Jesus, or prosperity Jesus, or wimpy Jesus, or New Age Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible. I tell you right now, if the Jesus I found in the Bible showed up in services, and people said, we don't have to do the Torah, he would have been in their face faster than anything. He said, you know what? I've turned over money changers' tables before, and I'll turn over your pulpit or any table you have if you start messing with my Father's commandments. And he would do it for the sake of those who have called on his name. Because it creates health. It creates the possibility of health. How many know that you can't eat 10,000 calories a day and still eat kosher and expect to be healthy? Okay. In fact, the Tanakh warns us, beware of the king's dainties. I found out that was pastry and I went, oh, Jesus. Krispy Kreme. Cheese Danish. Apple fritters. Mama went, oh. You can't, but everything, those things in moderation. They can't be your main diet.
That's right.
You can't do that and expect to be healthy.
That's right.
You can't violate and always operate in the lust that you got to have every little thing the TV tells you that you must have. How about the Holy Spirit telling you what you must have? Since when does an advertiser take the place of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Since when does a newscaster there, and they actually believe that they are telling you what to believe? And we got a generation, guys, they get their news from the Comedy Channel. There's one commentator, very liberal, he is so progressive that he wants the progressives to leave the Democratic Party and form their own progressive party, and he's the major newscaster on the Comedy Channel. And I tell you what, and you want to talk about somebody that is arrogant? Well, you know, we just got to force you to do it because you're so stupid you don't know what's going on. And so we're going to put on our Nazi jack boots and we're going to make everybody do it. And we're going to shoot anybody that doesn't because we know better. The Bible says those that, confessing themselves to be wise become as fools. You know, there's a scripture that says that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is. If you look in your King James Bible, is italicized. In the Hebrew, it literally says, the fool says in his heart, no, God. No, I won't obey your commandments. No, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. Isn't that what Lucifer said in heaven? No, God, we're going to do it my way. No, God, I don't have to. There's grace. Most believers bounce around like Daffy Duck calling it spirituality. When God says, I call you to a precision march, that when you start marching according to the Spirit of God and to the commandments of God and to the kingdom of God, you start shutting every door to the devil. In 1 John, he lays it out. He says, if you say that you know him and keep not his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. How many know that he didn't mince words? And he's the apostle of love. But he goes on to say, he says, if a man keepeth himself. You got to take the entire book of 1 John and understand what that means. Talk about if a man keeps himself in Christ and in the commandments, if he keepeth himself, the wicked one touches him not. Protection. Most believers think they're going around with a shield of faith. They got a piece of paper that says grace on it. If I'm going to face the devil, I want a multi-phasic force field, okay? I want it that no matter what area of my life, he can't get in because I've been obedient. That's why the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're unwilling and disobedient, what are you going to get? Ain't the good of the land, is it? And yet Christians, guys, we have entire ministries that tell you you don't have to do this, but you can get all the promises that this offers by writing a check. Bigger the check, bigger the blessing, right? You're throwing away your money unless you're obedient to God's word. Then when you give, when God tells you to give, heaven responds big time. Why? You already have the platform established by a life that is holy. You got God walking with you. Touch not the unclean thing, the Apostle Paul said, and God will walk among you. Christians don't know what is clean or unclean. It's in the Torah. It's in the commandments. This is the... Guys, I'm not talking about some... This is end of days spiritual warfare. You're going to have to soldier up, and you're going to have to begin to get in the Word and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. These things I won't do, and I know I live in a land where everything that I want to do, they hate, but everything they're doing, I have learned to hate because I love God. Because to love God is to eschew or to hate evil. It's going to be our safety.
Sure is.
And let me tell you something. Many times we're going to have blessed additions to the community, and we're going to have other churches that have blessed additions, but you also have blessed subtractions. Because they can bring harm to the body. You give them a chance to repent, and then you tell them, there is the door. Well, that is just awful. No, it's not. So you're telling me that there's someone sitting right over here, that this guy's disobedience over here might cost this guy his life?
Sure will.
Just ask Achan. Families lost their daddies that day because of the sin in his life. Direct disobedience to the Word of God, not that they were briefed on right before they went. There's a reason why Ananias and Sapphira hit the floor dead, because what the precedent that they were setting would have so contaminated the early church. There would have been no recovery from it. And so God had the only option. The Holy Ghost took them out of the community. You see, when you talk about the supernatural, you're gonna have some people raised from the dead, and you're gonna have some people made dead. You're going to have some people that have the sickness and disease taken off their lives, and then you're going to have witches try to come into the fellowship, and everybody they ever cursed their entire life is going to come on them at one moment. They're reaping. Yeah, their reaping's begun. This, get ready. But in the same time, believer, if I'm walking with God, I can have 1,000 fall by my right hand, 10,000 fall by my left hand, but it will not come near me because I am in the secret place of the Most High God. That's why Isaac sowed in famine. Now, he didn't write a check. He sowed. He actually took seed, put it in the ground, and got a crop. How many know when money won't buy you food, it'd be nice to have that 100-fold anointing when you go and plant something in the ground. I'm believing, guys, that when we have people that God puts on their heart to start farming, they plant tomatoes, they have so many tomatoes they don't know what to do, and they just got to share with this thing, just keeps giving to crazy maters, you know, it just keeps on going. God just so blesses their crops. Well, Mike, I just don't understand. You don't understand. I've been listening to prophets for decades. They have been prophesying about this and didn't even know what they were talking about, that as disaster and the judgment of God comes, there's going to be green spots. And it's going to get to the place that even the governments will begin seeking out believers to take over land, because only when a believer maintains the land does anything grow. Yes, Chuck Youngbrant gave that one. Harry Groover talked about when the enemy would come in and he saw tanks and airplanes coming in, that believers begin to pray and to seek the face of God, and the armies separated, went around, and kept on going and never knew they separated from each other. Or how many know that, you know, you have attack helicopters coming after you? Sand can be very bad news.
That's right.
Dust storm can be very bad news. Take them out before they ever get there.
Yep.
Well, Mike, I don't believe that. Guys, I've already lived some of that. Not necessarily attack helicopters, but we've had assassins not get it done. We've had our vehicle sabotaged and they kept on running. Power steering is not supposed to operate on water.
Especially for months.
For months. Mine did. And the Walmart guy, Walmart, he said, dude. I said, what? He said, you still have steering? Yeah. He said, it's full of water. And that was one of those big old Ford vans, you know, and it's like you'd have to go through a creek 6 feet deep to get it in it. There was almost no power steering fluid in it. It was all water. Had a friend that used to be CIA, and yes, I do know a few, that said that's an old CIA trick because then your power steering seizes up and you wreck. How many know if you're going 70 miles down a highway? That's bad news happening quick. They flushed it out. Guy said, I'm going to put it in and see what happens. It worked perfectly. In fact, it was on it to the day that we sent the entire van to the scrapyard. See, that's the blessings of God. Right, I've been poisoned. Still here. Had arsenic work out of our skin in flakes. It's a heavy metal. See, I'm trying to build your faith. There's something about when we start walking with God, and as we begin to do it together, it increases the size of the shield of faith. It increases its strength. That's why our two or more are gathered in my name. You can't be gathered in Jesus' name and disobey the commandments because he won't be there. Ask what you will and it will be done. John in 1 John said that when you keep the law, when you keep God's commandments, your heart won't convict you and you know you have confidence everything you ask you'll get. That's going to become more evident in the days ahead, guys. We're going to see an acceleration of it. God is getting ready to show up, but it's going to be in spots. It's called the faithful. It's called the remnant.
That's right.
And there's going to be this great dichotomy that's going to happen. And those of us that are prepared when everybody else in the body of Christ is saying, what the hell is going on? We'll say, because you've been living hell, and you have departed from the ways of God, and you have noticed it's not hitting us. Because I think part of the great end time revival, the last harvest, is going to get people that were churchized, we're going to get them actually saved.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to get them saved and begin walking in the kingdom of God with their whole hearts. Because we're going to have the protection. We're going to be established in righteousness. That's where we're headed, guys. Next week, we're going to get into some things just out of 1 John. The same old boy who wrote the Gospel of John wrote 1 John. How many know he understood the cross? But he also wrote something the Apostle Paul didn't write. It's called the Book of Revelation. And I believe the key to walking through the Book of Revelation is walking in 1 John. Because he actually tells you in 1 John to tell how if somebody has an Antichrist spirit is in 1 John. And a lot of the church, according to the Apostle John, has an Antichrist spirit. Well, just make it hard, Mike. I'm trying to make it easy. Yeah. We got to gird ourselves up. We got to prepare. Do you know that you can have all the food storage in the world? You got sin in your life and you die? That food ain't going to do any good. You got a basement full of food, or you got a two-car garage full of food. You got enough for 15 years, and a tornado comes through and sucks it all and gives it to somebody in Milwaukee. Ain't going to do you any good. You got to have the safety and the provision.
That's it. Yeah.
What happens when you can't run to the doctor every time you get a sniffle?
Yep.
You better know how to call on your God.
That's right.
You got to know how to be in a position for him to hear. Because the word says that sin hides you from him. And he wrote it to his chosen people that we were grafted into. Sin can make God not hear your prayers until you repent. Oh.
Yeah.
Time to get off the penny loafers and time to get on the combat boots. Because it's on, and the agents of darkness are dedicated in this generation to bring about their vision for the world. And we have got to respond with the same or even higher level of dedication to God's ways. Father God, we just thank you today for your word. Father, I thank you that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish whereunto you have sent it. And Father, I ask today that this would become a clarion call to every believer to return back to the word of God. Father, let us, like the Apostle Paul said, not use grace as an excuse to sin, but Father, the empowerment to do righteousness. Let us return because of Jesus to your commandments, statutes, and judgment. We're not trusting in them for salvation, but we understand they are the code of conduct for the saved. Yeah. Yes. 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 Father, every army must have a code of conduct for it to be a righteous army. Yes. And Father, the code of conduct for the kingdom of God and its soldiers is the commands and the statutes and the judgments of Almighty God. And Father, let us discipline ourselves to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus, and that we would have a testimony in the earth because of what Jesus is doing in our lives. In the midst of great darkness, that there will be light, there will be life, and there will be salvation. In Jesus' name.